بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تسيد اشعار عارف بالله حضرت اقدس حضرت مولانا شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب نور اللہ مرقدہ. The title is حفاظت نظر. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. ممکن نہیں صورت میں نہ ہو کوئی تغیر, بیکار ہے پھر ان سے تیرا دل کا لگانا. بیکار ہے پھر ان سے تیرا دل کا لگانا. لیکن اگر آنکھوں کو نہ تو ان سے بچائے, لیکن اگر آنکھوں کو نہ تو ان سے بچائے, ممکن نہیں پھر دل کا تیرے ان سے بچانا. آنکھوں کی حفاظت میں اس دل کا سکون بھی, بولت سے کرے تجھ سے کوئی اور بہانہ. آنکھوں کی حفاظت میں اس دل کا سکون بھی, گونت سے کرے تجھ سے کوئی اور بہانہ. ڈوکا ہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا, ڈوکا ہے تجھے لطف حسینوں سے ملے گا. ابلیس کے کہنے سے کبھی اس پہ نہ جانا. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. پاگل کی طرح پھرتے ہیں اس شوق مجازی, بیچے نہیں جن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ. پاگل کی طرح پھرتے ہیں اس شوق مجازی, بیچے نہیں جن رات یہ بدنام زمانہ. رہنا ہی اگر چین سے سن لو یہ میری بات, رہنا ہی اگر چین سے سن لو یہ میری بات. آنکھوں کو حسینوں کی نظر سے نہ ملانا, بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا. اختر کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم, اختر کی ایک بات نصیحت کی سنو تم, ان مردہ حسینوں سے کبھی دل نہ لگانا. بے پردہ حسینوں سے ہوا تنگ زمانہ, آنکھوں نے شروع کر دیا اب دل کو ستانا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى, اما بعد. It's very important bayan of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Zaman Tabrizi Zamana Mujaddid Zamana Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, from this great advice and bayan which Hazrat repeated all the time. We can see what a mujaddid, What are the form of the time Allah Ta'ala has sent to us, that we can't make enough shukr that such a personality Allah has sent, that the pandemic of the world that has caused havoc in the lives of people and homes are being split apart, and it is in total havoc today, that thing which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, the arsh of Allah Ta'ala shakes when a person gives divorce, talaq, and all this. The bottom line, if we see, is because of this what Hazrat is advising us here, hifazat in nazar, that a person has to control his gazes. The eye is the door to the heart, and if you don't control your eyes, your heart will never be at ease. You just look around and flirt around. So what a great bayan Hazrat has given, and Allah Rabbul Izzat sends the hukama, those people that Allah gives great wisdom, the spiritual doctors of the ummah, that they know exactly what is the sickness of the ummah of the time. And not only do they diagnose us and tell us, they give us the remedy for it. And in this bayan we'll see how Hazrat has given the remedy in such a way. And Hazrat was that one great personality that spoke of the subject over and over. And many people did not really realize and thought that Hazrat's bayan only surrounds and it is only about controlling one's gazes. But today a person will realize that how important and how necessary that Hazrat used to explain to us and tell us that this is such a sickness, spiritual disease, that you'll be making tahajjud salah also. You'll be keeping your regularly rozas also. But this is where we fail. We don't control our gazes, and this is where we are slipping and dreaming that we can become the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is such a terrible disease that we find in the Qur'an-i Kareem, Allah Rabbul Izzat, all the other commands, Allah Ta'ala directly mentioned, Aqimus Salah, establish Salah, give your zakat. But when it came to controlling the nazar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ghairat demanded that how is it that myself particularly, this is the important bayan for myself, which I am just making muzakara, and Allah give us tawfiq, at least it can penetrate our heart, and we get tawfiq to start at least making dua and practice upon it. That Allah Ta'ala's ghairat was that Allah Ta'ala could not say it, so to say, directly. Like a father see his son involved in haram, involved in evil, and he feels shy to tell his son. So he tells some friend of his or some uncle, they tell this boy, how can he be doing this? So Allah Rabbul Izzat has instructed our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell a believing man that look down, that don't just pass evil glances, don't flirt around. This is such a terrible action, such a terrible spiritual disease that you yourself should feel ashamed. But if you don't feel ashamed, then realize this. If you want your heart to be purified and you want Allah Ta'ala to come in the heart, then ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. This is the thing that will give you purification of the heart. And not only that, Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allahu Akbar, who is our creator, our sustainer, Allah knows every trick of ours. So Allah Ta'ala ends the ayat, وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Allah is well aware of all that sun'at, that what you are outwardly, you might be looking down, but a foolish person like myself, women are walking past and I'm putting my topi right just to attract some attention, or putting my beard right, Hazrat used to say that now all of a sudden you're putting your beard right, but in not realizing, shaitan is fooling you. You know you want to attract her, and outwardly you're acting like a Sufi with a tasbih in your hand and looking down, but all that tricks Allah Ta'ala knows about. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. That is why Allah has brought us here in these Mubarak Majalis, that at least myself I come to realize how spiritually I am ill with regard to this disease, and never ever be content till our last breath that I can control my eyes. This is such a difficult disease and a terrible disease, but if a person becomes conscious at least, He'll make dua, and through the barakat of the medicine of zikr, inshallah it will be of assistance and regularly attendance in the company of our mashayikh with the correct intention. So Hazrat says that be parda haseeno se hua tang zamana, aankho ne shuru kar diya ab dil ko satana. That now women don't take wearing parda, that is veiling themselves, they don't take that serious. And thus particularly Hazrat is referring to the Indian continent, where before it was a norm, a woman never ever out of necessity go out of a home. And if she had to go out, she had a full parda on, such a cloak that you won't know where what age woman is under that cloak. And even their eyes were closed. And that is why Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this particular command, particularly for the man and the woman. That it's not just sufficient that woman put a parda, or like Hazrat Allah explains to us in this zamana, the skokai parda, that the eyes are open and woman think that no, we can look. Whether it's your sheikh, whether whoever it is, it's not permissible for the sheikh to look at that woman, neither is it permissible for that woman to look at the sheikh. So when the eyes are open, the most delicate part is the eyes. When two eyes meet, then what havoc it causes. So Allah Ta'ala give me all of us tawfiq to understand that Hazrat says in those countries particularly, bare parda, women are now walking around without veil, etc., in the bazaars, etc. And Hazrat says in our country, etc., and in these more so-called the first world countries, it's not bare pardagi, is udyaniyat. That's totally nakedness. When little sun comes out, they feel as if all the heat is only on them, and they have to throw down all their clothing. Allah Ta'ala save us. That is why we should avoid all these type of areas which Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned. The worst places are the bazaar. That naturally you will get inclined, no matter how you try, but your gazes will fall. Allah Ta'ala says that now just that glance that you have made, now it is the cause that now your heart is being troubled. And now you can't be at ease. No matter you can be a big Sufi, but your glances have fell, now it is punishing your heart, so to say. Now you are thinking of this woman that has went past, that how she looks, what a young girl, and now from there it starts and it carries on. Your Hazrat already gives a beautiful treatment, that if you got involved in just casting a glance, before it goes further, remember, just think of this reality. Mumkin nahi surat mein koi ho taghayur, na ho koi taghayur. Bekar hai fir unse tera dil ka lagana. If now your glances fell and you want to go ahead and attach your heart and start making further trying to make a relationship and get numbers, etc., be very careful. And today it's not just walking or looking at women in the street. The billboards are full, magazines are full, and today myself, we all got it in our pocket. We just take it out just from the masjid, and the first thing that pops up on the phone is some picture, some woman picture. And we fantasize in foolishness. A picture is the most stupid thing to fantasize over, because it's the most artificial and foolish deception of this world. So Hazrat says, even so, whatever you saw, and don't let your heart be now, don't let your heart be troubled, because it's impossible. Just think, as beautiful as this woman might look in reality, or worse, in picture, don't think that that form will not change. She's not going to remain that age and that beauty forever. That is in Jannah. And Allah is so kind and merciful that Allah Ta'ala has informed us through our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the gazers, sahmum min sihami shaitan masmum, that be careful, these are from the spears of shaitan, and it's a poisonous spear. In other words, one glance you took, and many people, Allah save me, all of us, we get this wrong notion that the first glance is permissible. The first glance, what does it mean? By mistake, you just glance. And in such an area where you don't really expect a woman to come, and a woman walk past and you glance, immediately you look down, that glance, inshallah, will be forgiven. But not in areas where we know there are women going to be walking around. So much so that Allah Akbar, look how our Hazrat, our Dada Shaykh has taught us. Even you driving, avoid looking to the left, right, and say, I'm just, look at the car, don't look at the driver. That what kind of driver today it is, these woman drivers, etc., that is not our problem. We have to look at the car and the road. So Hazrat says, it is impossible that those forms of theirs will never change. Very soon it will change. And what you are looking at in reality, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the poisonous arrow, if it has touched your heart, now your iman is at stake. And Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala save us. Today in ghaflat, we go looking at our phones and an accident, and there a family is gone. Ya Hazrat Mawlana Bahadur Sahab of Zimbabwe said it so beautifully. The car manufacturers have learned how to make cars from the Quran Sharif. So Hazrat say, Hazrat, where is that? You say, Allah Ta'ala says, Kulli al-mu'minina yaghuddu min absarihim. Kulli al-mu'minati yaghuddna min absarihim. That when you drive in your car at night, and you got your lights on, your bright light, and a car from opposite is coming, there's bright light, then dumb your light. He says, that is two cars. Allah is telling you, when you walking on one side of the road, your lights are on, that means your eyes are wide open, and you see an opposite sex coming past, and her eyes are also open. If you both going to look at what bright lights, look at one another, it's not just an accident that you will, she will walk into you and you say she fell head over heels, but it is a matter of iman. Allah Ta'ala save us all. So Hazrat says that, and what we looking at, beautifully our Dada Shaykh has mentioned, that it is all the stool that artificially she looks beautiful. Give her one, two brooklets and you will see the reality of that same girl you were looking at. Now you don't want to look at her. But in reality what we are looking at is the stool. And this is why Allah Ta'ala has informed us, Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. This disease can never come out on its own. Come in the company of the friends of Allah and they will teach us the reality of life. Hazrat says, then if you know a form is going to change, and even a young girl, Allah Ta'ala explains in the Quran Kareem, Yawma yaj'alul wildana shiba, that day when it will be a frightening day of Qiyamah, you never control your gazes, etc., you'll see young boys and girls will look like old men. In this world also, the Titanic, that ship, they said, unsinkable. People were dancing and going to town on that ship, and Allah made the whole ship sink. Young girls look like old ladies in a split moment. So Allah Ta'ala is reminding us here, and beautifully Hazrat, and we can see what a mujaddid of the time, that this is such a disease, it's not just easy to go down the throat and mind, but see how beautifully Hazrat has put it, that form is going to change. So don't waste your time that now you attach your heart to this artificial form. Lekin agar aankhon ko tu na unse bachaye, mumkin nahi phir dil ka tere unse bachana. But if you don't control your gazes, and you don't make an effort to control your gazes, then it is impossible to save your heart from that. Now your heart will be troubled all the time. And worse, a person, Allah save me, if you are a married man, Allah has given you a beautiful halal wife, and right next to your halal wife, you will be imagining of some other woman, and you in zina right next to a halal wife. Allah Ta'ala save us. Your namaz, you won't be at ease. You won't be at ease at all, as Hazrat explains in front, what condition will such a person be. Aankhon ki hifazat mein us dil ka sukubi. Hazrat says, if you want peace and contentment, like today we see every second person is in depression because of this great disease. We're not controlling our game. I am not controlling my gazes. Hazrat says that you will never get peace and contentment of the heart, even if the nafs, your desires will make lot of excuses. That I'm not looking to for any haram reason. I'm just looking for, just looking whether, what kind of a woman it is, so much. So Hazrat says in Haram Sharif, control your gazes. Shaitan will fool you. Let me see how the Syrian woman look. Let me see how the Egyptian woman look. And where you is supposed to be gaining Allah's rahmat, we drowning in the lanat of Allah. It has come clearly that a person, لَعَنَ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْزُورِ إِلَيْهِ, a person becomes a mal'oon, he a cursed person, that the one who looks and those who present themselves to be looked at. Even today, young boys, young men, etc., presenting themselves for other men to look at, we living in the curse of Allah. And another terrible title you get, a zani, a adulterer, that zinal ayn and nazr, a person, one of the zinas, is to look. And this is the starting point. Allah Ta'ala save me and all of us. So Hazrat says, doka hai tujhe lut fasino se milega. Iblis ke kehne se kabhi us pe na jana. Your nafs, first Iblis will just whisper in your heart, there's nothing wrong, and you get enjoyment, just look, it's nothing wrong, you're not going to commit any evil. But then your nafs starts troubling you. And Hazrat says, it is a big deception that you'll get enjoyment in looking. What enjoyment you're going to just get in looking? And this is such a terrible disease, Hazrat explained. If you don't curb it from the beginning, you will become an old man, cold like a deep freeze, and you will be still involved in this haram. And Allah Ta'ala save me and all of us, that Hazrat says, never ever on the whispers of Iblis and your nafs, don't ever fall in the trap that you start casting glances. Because what will happen to you? Pagal ki tarah firti hai usha ki majazi, bechain hai din raat, ye badnaam hai zamana. That this person is right now a madman. Even he is doing work, but he is not at ease. He at home also is not at ease. In the masjid is not at ease. Outwardly he might look like a Sufi, but in his mind he is just not at ease. He is totally reckless. And not only that, if just slightly some information must come out, he becomes the grace of the time. That this Maulana, this person was a sheikh, this person so and so, look what who is involved. And today with the chatting and messages, Allah Ta'ala save me, all of us, even Ustaz, the woman, the mothers want to send messages from Ustaz to the Ustaz, and there it starts. And where it lands up, Allah Ta'ala save us all. This is all part of Bad Nazri. Rehna hai agar chain se sun lo ye meri baat. See what pain and what love Hazrat is advising us. Aankho ko haseeno ki nazar se na milana. Say, oh my friend, if you want to love what peace and enjoyment, enjoy your ibadat, enjoy your life, enjoy everything, the ni'mat of Allah, then control your gazes from the artificial beauty. If you think they are beautiful, then very beautiful, Hazrat has said, no, don't look at the design, look at the designer. Yeah, how beautiful is Allah. When the beauty of Allah comes in the heart, all these other things become cold. Akhtar ki ye ek baat nasihat ki suno tum, un murdo haseeno se kabhi dil na lagana. Hazrat finally gives us a great advice, and Hazrat left us with this great advice. But today we see it's a pandemic, not even an epidemic. The world is crying of AIDS, etc., but this is the beginning of it. And this is the cause. Hazrat says, listen to this one very special advice of mine. Don't ever attach your heart to these corpses that look so beautiful. These women are going to be in the grave just now. That corpse that you are looking at, what you going to get out of that? Allah give me the reality and all of us, that we take the medicine from our sheikh and we practice upon it, and Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and save us from this disease and all the spiritual diseases.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار صدق الله المولان العظيم. Firstly, as our Shaykh reminded us, always we must remind ourselves to bring our lives according to Sunnah as much as possible. Try and bring every sunnah into our lives. That is our protection from all the fitnas. We don't have to have all the deep knowledge, or we don't really need to go to anyone If just sunnahs come in our life, we will be protected from all fitna, and all goodness will come into our lives. Allah declares His love for those people who follow sunnah. We will become the beloved of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq that always we remember that we should bring sunnah into our lives as much as possible. Where we can't, we should feel guilty about it, we should feel sad about it. Like one great alim says, of the pious alims of the past, that when I don't understand one of the examples which Allah gives in the Quran Sharif, I cry upon my condition. That why can't I understand? Allah Ta'ala says, تِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. That these examples which Allah gives in the Quran Sharif, that they, no, that person who is not, who doesn't have knowledge, he does not understand them. So he says that if I don't understand, that means I don't have knowledge of deen. That is why I don't understand. Otherwise, all the examples which Allah Ta'ala has given are all for our benefit. And this was actually revealed, like for the kuffar of Makkah, they used to say that why did Allah Ta'ala give examples of a mosquito, of a fly, of a spider in the Quran Sharif, that these are small, little, insignificant things. Allah Rabbul Izzat so great, and He gave examples of this. But the ulama explain it, that this all, the example is not, to do with the greatness of the one who gives the example. If you want to describe something which is dirty and filthy, then you'll have to give an example of dirt and filth. You can't give an example of cleanliness and that. So Allah gave those examples, and Allah says He does not shy away from giving those examples. So may Allah Ta'ala, like the sunnah also, that if it doesn't make sense to us, we should cry on our condition. That why is it that what Allah declares to be the perfect way of life, for which Allah sends Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the various reasons, one great major to bring the sunnah way of life into the world. And if that is not appealing to me, then I have to cry on my condition. May Allah give us tawfiq. One great sunnah Allah gives us tawfiq is when we enter the house is to make salam. And to make salam loudly, clearly, and in fact cheerfully. We make salam like that, and the wife also replies like that in a nice way, the house people. Then Allah looks at that house with rahmat and mercy. And the salam, we can see for ourselves what a great greeting, what a great dua, what a great ibadah, what a great dhikr it is, what a great command of Allah Ta'ala it is. That we enter our homes and we say, may peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum. If there is peace, then everything is found. Whether we are rich or poor, but there is peace. If a person can be so wealthy, but there is no peace. Even if there is sickness, but there is peace, we accept it. It is from Allah. Everyone is happy. But where husband and wife are fighting, husband comes in and he finds fault. As the husband comes in, the wife finds fault in him. What is in that home? So with the salam, as Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, our honorable Shaykh, the honorable son, he says when salam was common, there was peace in the world. Today we don't make salam really. So we find that there is problems. Right in ourselves there are problems. In our homes there are problems. So if we make salam, then inshallah, by the barakat of it, Allah will bring this peace. And then not only that peace, which was in a sense more than enough, but our deen is not only perfect, akmal, more than perfect also. Wa rahmatullah, and the rahmat of Allah be upon the house. What a wonderful thing that if Allah's rahmat is in the house, how lot of goodness in that house. Wa barakatuhu, and the barakat of Allah Ta'ala be in the home. And our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi jazahumullah khair used to explain that as-salam is in the singular. Wa rahmatullah, rahmat is also singular. But barakat, Allah put it in the plural. Wa barakatuhu, the barakat of Allah Ta'ala. And everyone likes barakat. Barakat, especially in money. Barakat in time also. Barakat in everything. So our salam has got not only barakat, but barakat. Lot of barakat in everything. So if we will do that, we will find great, great peace in our lives, in our homes. And again, we can see that sunnah is so easy. Otherwise, you want peace in the home, we will be going to so many people to ask for advice, to ask for help. We will be going to so many counselors. We will be going to so many other people for treatment, for therapy, etc. Allah gave it to us just in the greeting. Tahiyyatan min indillah, mubarakatan tayyibah. What a mubarak, tayyib, pure greeting Allah has given us. So from here also we can gauge, if we just try and bring our lives according to sunnah in every field, what great goodness. And then again, it is not only this great goodness, the rewards are so much. That is, especially in these times, we bring one sunnah alive, the sawab of 100 shaheed. Imagine every time we enter the home, we leave the home, we can get the sawab of 100 shaheed. And just to say, assalamu alaikum, that is already the sunnah. But we add more sawab we get, wa rahmatullahi, wa barakatuhu. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand our beautiful deen and what a great deen Allah Ta'ala has given us, and that we try and open our hearts to this. Unfortunately, all the other ways of life, they appeal more to us. Whereas our Islamic, our deeni life, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should have love for it also. And if we go and see it morally and ethically, we are obliged to follow this way. That Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a pure life and with what sacrifices he brought this life for us. And then again the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the first recipients of the deen, what their great, great sacrifices were to bring this deen alive, and how they would die hard for the sunnah. For every sunnah, they wouldn't one bit also, they wouldn't steer a little different from any sunnah. Whenever somebody saw amongst the tabi'een, etc., saw a sahaba doing an action and asked, did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this? They would say, we will not do anything what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do. They will follow it, and at what cost also, but they will stick to that sunnah. And then again, all the great, great ulama and the righteous and pious people who have made deen alive and brought deen, they also, how they had clung onto the sunnah. And today they gave it to us ready in a plate. May Allah make it for us that we try and accept this way of life wholeheartedly, open-heartedly, and with passion. And it is only for our good. We will live a wonderful, peaceful life. Sunnah life guarantees that. And then in the akhirat, the great rewards also on that. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. We are all aware of the conditions of the Ummah, and for that, whether it is in India, what very sad and bad conditions are there, whether it is in Syria, whether it is with the Muslim, the Rohingya Muslims, the Chinese Muslims, whether it is the Palestine Muslims, in Mali, in many places, Muslims are going through difficulties and hardships. And in and around us also, we are hearing of our social life, what problems there are in our the married lives, what problems there are, and what difficult conditions. One is, we feel sad about it, but we should consider our attitude also to it. Many of us, we don't even pay any interest. It's not even like anything for us. Whereas if one part of the body is afflicted with anything, any sore, any difficulty, the whole body also suffers the consequences. We got a headache, we don't say it's just with the head, so leave it alone, there is a head problem. No, the whole body is affected. On the toe, we got a little blister, a little sore, we've got little fungus between the toes, athlete's feet, then the tongue speaks about it, the finger will put cream, we will go to the doctor, the legs will walk, everything for this little small thing. And the whole ummah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kajasadin wahidin, it's like one body. So either they are not part of the body, so we are not worried of them. Or either we are not part of the body. But the ummah as a whole, if we are not worried and concerned about what is happening, we should cry on our state of iman. That is, what is my state of iman? So that is one. Many of us are just totally unmindful. We don't want to know about it also. And then the second, it mustn't be just news items. That just this news we are getting. That this is the condition. We listen to some news. We know somebody knows more about it, we find out from him. It shouldn't be limited to that also. It should give us some feeling. And then the next is at least dua. And dua also, there is also a sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So dua we must engage in. With so much of emphasis, so many ulama saying, but yet so many of our masajid, Qunut and Nazila is also still not read. That means collectively also we are still not concerned. It's just one like a thing that's happening and it has got nothing to do with us. And then individually we all can ask ourselves, have I made perhaps even one time? Have I made dua for the conditions in India to change? The conditions Kashmir, Delhi, UP, and now it's spreading to all the rest of the country also. And the planning of the government is so evil that they want to kill so many Muslims and they want to force so many to become murtad, to become Hindus by them repeating the words of their kufr, putting them in such camps, etc., like it is done in other places, China, etc. So, are we at least making dua? And dua is completely free of charge. And nobody can say, I cannot make dua. A person may be so ma'zoor, so with such great excuse that he can't make namaz also. He can't stand and make namaz. He can't sit and make namaz. He can't lie down and make namaz. He can't make namaz with the signs of his head also. He can't make namaz. But dua he can still make. If the lips are not moving, in our heart we can make dua. A person in whatever condition, dua we can make. So ask ourselves, how much of duas are we making? And then Allah Ta'ala is so kind to us, and the dua is actually dua. It's not just a make dua, or I'm making dua. But am I making dua? Somebody tell us make dua, I say I'm making dua. But am I making dua? Like for that particular person is ill, did we take his name and make dua? A person have got, some couple have got marriage problems. Did we take that name, Ya Allah, remove the problems from their marriage, remove the problems from their life, whatever. This person has got financial problems, somebody else has got some other, whatever. Do we take the names and make dua? So, or even if we make general dua, but at least in such conditions for that particular thing, we should be making dua. Then after that, there is still more that we can do also, is give particularly sadaqah for that problem. Whatever, whether it is our own, like a family problem, somebody is ill, somebody, Allah protect us all, mess up with an accident, then immediately we take out some sadaqah. So continuously to be giving some sadaqah. That Allah, these problems, and for particular problems we give some sadaqah. And even if we give 1 rand, 2 rand, 5 rand, whatever we can give, sadaqah is not necessarily a huge amount. And not necessarily that we have a cow slaughtered or a goat or sheep slaughtered, but just give something. And wherever we can, we try and give something. So sadaqah is also one thing. Then there is another one great thing also, and that is mannat, to make a vow. That Ya Allah, if you remove this problem, I will keep so many rozas. I will make so many rakats of namaz. I will give so much in charity. That also we can do. If we haven't got money or we are stingy to give money, we can make 2 rakats of namaz. We can keep 1 roza. And these are all the asbab, the real means by which we can bring change about. Otherwise, what the problems are in India, how are we going there? Are we going to go and fight the people there? Or what are we going to do? But staying here, we can do a lot. And if these are the real things, so this mannat also, then another very great thing Allah Ta'ala has given us, and that is tawassul, to use the barakat of certain people, certain places, that the love Allah has for them, that by that, oh Allah, accept this du'as of ours. And especially at these times, then we use this, and especially the shafa'at and the tawassul of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala, and also any great pious buzurg. But not that we are asking from them or anything, but the love Allah has for them, on their in that love, accept this du'as of ours, O Allah. So that also we can use. So Allah give us tawfiq that we use all this. Then there is more also that we can do, and that is, ulama have written, and in fact the Quran Sharif is full of it, right from the beginning to the end, that these things might be happening in those places, but that yeah, these enemies of Islam, that we don't imitate them. The Quran Sharif first, what Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah's great, great qualities. Then Ya Allah, show us the straight path, the path of those who you had favored, which are really the Anbiya Alayhimus Salatu Wassalam, the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, etc. And then clearly Allah says right at the beginning, not the way and not those people's way of whom Allah is angry with, the Jews and the Christians, غَيْرِ الْمَحْذُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِّينَ. But if we see, our lifestyle is like this. So this is the starting point that we bring all these problems upon us. Today our whole lifestyle, our dressing, our lifestyle, our everything, our eating, we eat like them. Our weddings, we make our weddings like them. Everything what they do, our home decoration, and we do, and we people study this, and we study that, and how they make their homes, we make our homes like that. Everything of ours we go and see. How, just consider any aspect of our life. How much is it according to Sunnah? We say that, oh Allah, show us the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. We are asking for that, but in actual life, how much are we according to that? And then we say, not the path of those who have gone astray, not those who are misguided, which is really the Jews, but then how much is our life like that? And then we read the whole Quran over and over. Allah says, don't take the non-Muslims as your friend. Because, and this is the starting point. And we can easily see today with our schooling, whether it be primary or whether it be high school, university, and then the workplaces, one of the major causes is mixing with the non-Muslims. And we have to mix. Our Sharia is perfect and complete. It has allowed also in business we're going to mix with them. You have a plumber who comes at work at home. He's perhaps a non-Muslim also. But in all things still, we should try and find Muslims. We should associate and make our lives with Muslims. And as far as possible. But they eat, and Sharia has allowed. But then where it has allowed, it has put limitations and has put conditions. And these limitations and conditions, we are not aware that they exist also. So there is no question of talking about them. Our children go to school, they are going to be mixing with non-Muslims there. We never ever tell them, we will be worried that we want performance, we want distinctions, we want A's. But we won't tell them, see, they are non-Muslims, you will be there with them, your akhlaq, character must be good, you will greet them, etc. But don't befriend them. Don't become good friends and bosom friends with them. Eh? And we can easily see, anyone can understand the end result of this. Everywhere now the love marriages. And we don't see whether it's a non-Muslim or a Muslim. We don't see finally whether they are prepared to change their religion also. And many times we are happy that you can stay on your religion also. We don't see what our parents, we throw our parents away. We don't see our family also. We don't see society also. Just I'm in love. And whoever it is, a non-Muslim, whoever it is, I'm in love, I'm going to get married to that person. And all this starts from this association with them. And when we have to associate, then we must know what Sharia has put the limitations and the conditions for this. That we will mix with them, but that we keep our distance. And even we advise our children that we keep more friends with Muslims. When it's playtime, then also with Muslims we more keep our association. How many people openly say, I'm more comfortable with non-Muslims? How many girls say, I'm more comfortable with boys? Boys say, I'm more comfortable with girls. All this has to be taught to our children. And at the workplaces also, where we just mix with them. So all this starts with this mixing. And with this mixing, the beginning stages is that we just mix and still we know our limits, they know their limits. But very soon, our values, we start losing value for our values. We become desensitized. Now our deen doesn't mean anything really so much. Now it's just that what is the life like? What all people are going by? Our worldly standards, we judge everything upon, and we must keep peace with everyone. And then we don't look at it from a deeny point of view. And this is very, very important that we judge everything as a Muslim. We have to judge it from a deeny point of view, Quran and Hadith, Sharia's point of view, not from a deeny point of view, that from a dunya's point of view, that today we want to see everything, have peace with everyone, even peace with shaitan. But as long as unity, these are two main words, peace with everyone and unity with everyone, whether then it is non-Muslims, or whether in the name of Muslims, like Shias, we must have peace with them also, unity with them also. Qadianis, anyone else, must have peace with everyone. But what does our Sharia say? What is, and the real life, and this is also one other important aspect. Allah give us all tawfiq, that it is even a matter of just this dunya's life. The real thing is the life of the akhirah. And how our life in the qabr is going to be, and how our life in the, and that will be forever and ever. Just here to try and maintain peace, make everyone happy, we might succeed, we might not succeed, but then what will be our condition in the akhirah? So this mixing, which Allah Ta'ala has warned so many places in the Quran, here in the ayah that I recited, Allah says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا. Darkano, ulama have said, even just a slight inclination towards the non-Muslims, don't have that also. And we befriend them so easily. If we think also, and there is more details in this, but just think, today Allah forgive us all. We have all made mistakes, big mistakes. Like if we call a non-Muslim my friend, we don't think of it as anything, nothing wrong. But a person who is the enemy of Allah, who doesn't believe in Allah, who's the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I say my friend, my brother. And so common with us today, we don't think about it. We will call him my friend, but he is the enemy of Allah. Now from a dunya's point of view, we look, no problem here. We all want peace, we are so good character and that. And so we should think that how we address them. Hazrat Maulana Thani rahmatullah alayhi saying that when government people should come there, like for any work, he should call them janab. But he should take it from janabat, that these are impure people. So something like that, whatever. But to give them respect and to give them honor, then this happens, they are invited at our weddings also. And more worth at funerals also. And especially at the funeral where we want Allah's rahmat, and these non-Muslims are there, when their disbelief blocks the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And some places, they are even allowed and invited right at the burial place, in the Qabristan. So that is even more. We become so close to them, and we give them preference over to Muslims also. So this is a thing that we don't take the seriousness of it is not in us. Whereas if we read the Quran with that eye and see the number of ayats that are like that, how Allah Ta'ala has warned us that we should not become bosom friends with them. But on the other hand, our relationship with them, cordial business, very honest, upright business, that is absolutely essential. We don't humiliate, disgrace them. We don't look down upon them and think we are better. Then it is more dangerous, because that depends on how our mort is going to come. And how many people who were non-Muslims whole life, just before mort they became Muslims. So we got no right to look down upon them. We got no right to think we are better than them in any way. But to befriend them to that level, that no barriers remain between us. And we just become like them. And they become like, if they become like us, alhamdulillah, but that we become like them, their lifestyle. And we can see with all the schooling, etc., then our lifestyle becomes more like them. With universities, etc., all the outings, in fact, in the name of Islam and from Islamic organizations, we also have outings, etc., which are not Islamic, which are their form. We just try and give it an Islamic name, an Islamic flavor or something, but really it is all their lifestyle. Everything of ours we do according to them. So this is a very serious thing, and this is then where Allah Ta'ala, then Allah protect us, then Allah's azab comes down. And we have to think everywhere, and from that the problems which are there, one is the problem, but to discuss the problem alone is not enough. Du'as, all that we make, but then after we should understand and diagnose the cause of those problems. Allah Ta'ala doesn't just give people azab for nothing. Difficult conditions. And what conditions they are, we can't even hear them. We can't even read about it. We have to stop reading also. So terrible. And Allah is watching. Allah knows everything what is happening. And this is allowed to our young sisters what is happening. To our old people. To our men. To our women. All this is happening. So we should reflect and think, what are the causes? And for ourselves, that Allah protect us. If those causes are coming into our lives, then the same result can also come on to us. And we have to be very, very concerned about it. Some dini people, ulama, met with some government people, and in the meeting, the government people said that the thing that happened in New Zealand, the massacre there, or the thing that happened in Sri Lanka, where also the Muslims had suffered, they said it must not happen here. So then one of the ulama asked those people, why are you saying this? Is there some fear? They say, no, we just have to be ready. But where there is smoke, there has to be some fire. Otherwise, the smoke does not come. So we must not think that we are safe here. The causes, what caused all that conditions there, if those causes are found within us, like in some places they say, and we are not here for fault finding, but diagnoses are necessary. Some places in the month of Ramadan, after iftari, cricket matches start till theory time. Where in that area which is known as the dini and religious area, they are playing cricket the whole night. No Taraweeh, no Isha Namaz. And the women are also there, spectating and watching the whole time. They eat the theory, and after that they sleep till Zohar. So all this kind of condition. With this present condition, people are not turning to the masjid. No namazes, masjids are left open. There is nobody coming to the masjid. So in all these conditions, and all starts with this mixing with them, without the subtle, that sweet poison starts with there. Mixing, talking, then that whole, then complete unmindfulness of our deen, and complete that way of life. all they are doing. And another very serious thing in this, one is the physical contact, which is very serious mixing with them. And then the cell phone. At the amount we go, we see their size. For every film, there is a purpose and object behind the film. Whatever, there is one subtle theme that they want, a message which they want to send through. We just looking at the film without realizing that they put something into us, some poison has come into us. Whatever they speak about, they do, there is something they want to push through, some agenda they have got. Adverts have got this. All cartoons are very, very dangerous. We think they are just cartoons, but inside there is a subtle poison, a sweet poison which they are pushing through. So, and on the one side we are getting involved in that. Allah has made the system if we adopt to it. Five times a day Allah made namaz come into this environment. Come ye into the masjid where the malaika abound, where there are pious people. We come ye, but our hearts are not ye. In that film, our full heart and mind is in there. In the form we are, full attention is there. Namaz, we, those who come, and how few come. And yeah, our heart and mind is not in the namaz. It is still out of the namaz. So at least if we keep our namazes, tilawat of Quran Sharif, we will come here. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas, rahmatullah alayh, when he should go for tabligh work, dini work, to Mewat, to the Muslims of Mewat. On his return, he should go direct to the Khanqas of Saharanpur and Gango. That there, by mixing with those people, for deen he went. But those people were far from deen. All the dirt that had come on him, on his heart, they could make it out. So to cleanse it up, he should go to the Khanqas to make zikr, stay in the company of the pious to cleanse himself. But we don't feel anything. We live with these people, whole day we are with them. And we all that which is comes, like our clothes, if it's pure white clothes, one spot we realize it. But when the clothes have become dirty, now one black mark, it makes no difference. Unfortunately, that has become our condition. So we should be very, very vigilant of this, and it is a serious matter that at the moment what is happening around the world, that we take cognizance, we keep it in mind, and then not only the cause of it, but then what the solution also is. And the solution is that we come more to Deen. And the history has proven from the time of the Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, when Muslims brought that Islamic environment, that Islamic way of life, then Allah Ta'ala gave such condition. And where we went away, where it came to its fruition, to its height, to its perfection, whether it was in Spain, whether it was in Iraq, whether it was in India, whether it was anywhere else, Muslims lived peacefully and happily. But when in their unmindfulness they again went, like in Spain, and the same thing in Iraq, the Muslims were boasting that we have become masters of music, we have become masters of liquor, of all those things, and we have brought it to its height and to its beauty and perfection. That is when the downfall came. And how the downfall came in Iraq, how it came in Spain, where Muslims were at the height of everything, deen and dunya, but they went right down when that ghaflat came. So the main cause of it is this mixing, and we don't keep our limits and our conditions in mind, then these conditions happen. And we all in our families, that what the divorces that are taking place, the drugs that are coming in, what things, it is all mixing with them. Otherwise, divorce is a thing that was totally taboo and alien for us in our community. Drugs is not a thing of our community, it's an outside thing. But all this has come because of all this mixing. And these things are taken even lightly now. Allah give us all tawfiq to understand, for me first, for all of us, and Allah guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.